Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. It's been a minute, but we're back and we're doing your voted on movie, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
You guys sure know how to pick them?
I love, wow.
Okay, I think it was good, but yeah. Well, it's kind of, it's a little sad at times. I don't know.
Wow, Cam hates getting this feels.
That's not what I said.
We had put a poll over on our Instagram page, and you guys voted between The Godfather, Fight Club, La La Land, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And this is what you chose. We watched it. We're going to give you a, had you guys seen it? I have seen this before.
Nope.
No.
Okay. I watched this like 2012, 2014 maybe. So it's been quite some time, but you're going to get two fresh ratings and reviews first. And we just wanted to say thank you for tuning in. Like, review, leave us a review wherever you listen. It really helps us out. And share us with your friends and family. And we have another giveaway from our friends at Warner Brothers for their 100th anniversary. Last time we gave away Rebel Without a Cause, Maltese Falcon, and Cool Hand Luke, but this time we've got more codes. We got 10 digital codes, and we got two movies. We got the classic drama East of Eden starring James Dean and Western Rio Bravo starring John Wayne, which are now available for the first time in crystal clear 4K Ultra HD. Look for them on 4K Ultra HD and digital, and head over. I'm going to expand it this time, okay? Last time we just did Instagram. But, you know, since we haven't recorded in some time, Threads is a new thing.
Wow, Threads.
We brought back our Twitter.
Good old Twitter.
Twitter. I'm mixing Threads and Twitter right now, but
hate that.
Head over to our social medias, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, and enter the giveaway. There will be a post there. It'll be pinned on our Instagram. And if you want to win, go like it. Go comment. And we'll enter the drawing. We're going to pick the winner on August 13th. So hurry up, go and enter. And we got 10 winners. So, you know, odds are you might have a pretty good shot. It's better than one prize, you know?
If you're not sure about entering the contest and you want to know whether or not you would like either of these movies, check out the pod episode we did on Rio Bravo. Take a listen. You'll get Dylan's first-time perspective and you'll get my nostalgia and updated viewpoints.
Also, this week, we're sponsored by Liquid IV. Summer, it's still going. It's hot as hell down here in Atlanta. It's 99 this weekend, so you need to stay hydrated. If you're like me, you went to your annual doctor's visit, and they were like, oh, you only run once a week? I'd like to see that bumped up to like three times a week. So you're trying to get, you know, health and wellness in there. You're exercising in the heat, you know, so you're losing a lot of water through your sweat. Liquid IV is here to help. It's the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning, before a workout, and when you feel run down after a long night out or on long flights. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone. They have 12 delicious, refreshing flavors to keep you on your hydration routine. I personally am a fan of the strawberry flavored. Can you hear it? A little ASMR on the podcast there.
After a 10-day work trip to the West Coast and a flight back, I had some Liquid IV on Sunday morning, and yeah, honestly, I did feel much better. I felt alive. I felt less jet lagged. Definitely better than I would have felt otherwise. So I do recommend it. Again, it was very helpful in just like making me feel, I guess, normal, like back to routine, as opposed to normally, you know, you fly back. Yeah, your body is adjusting, you're kind of all over the place, you're groggy, you're tired. I didn't have any of that, so I got to be kind of my normal self, hang out with my family before getting back at it on Monday.
And if you want some Liquid IV, you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code cocktails and classics, spelled out cocktails and classics at checkout. And that's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code cocktails and classics at liquidiv.com. Speaking of better hydration, this week's cocktail is
better hydration. You guys are gonna love this.
As Cam and Ben like to say, a fancy screwdriver, tied to the movie because of the name, Darling Clementine. Obviously, Clementine is one of the main characters in the film, and a play on a screwdriver. It's 2 ounces of vodka, 2 ounces of clementine juice, and 1 ounce of simple syrup.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the clementine juice or simple syrup, just make a screwdriver, man. And then put it in a fancy martini glass, then you got a fancy drink.
I made mine in a Collins glass, made a double. I just used orange juice. You don't really taste the vodka, and that's probably what's dangerous about the these like screwdrivers type drinks. Because also with, I feel like with orange juice and syrup, it's kind of like sweet, so it's like really like you're not going to taste this at all, because a normal screwdriver has no simple, right?
Yeah, I was surprised with the added simple syrup. I was like, man, I don't know that it needs that.
If you want to make a screwdriver, check out the show notes. Or fuck, it's not a screwdriver, god damn it.
You want to automate
this? If you want to make a Darling Clementine, hit up the show notes below, get the recipe, and hit up the Casker links to have some alcohol delivered directly to your door. And we're going to spoil Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. So get ready. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is a 2004 sci-fi romantic comedy dramedy. Currently sits at an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb. It's the story of when their relationship turns sour, a couple undergoes a medical procedure to have each other erased from their memories forever. It's directed by Michael Gondry, written by Charlie Kaufman, Michael Gondry, and Pierre Bismuth. It stars Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, Tom Wilkinson, Elijah Wood, Mark Ruffalo, Jane Addams, David Cross, or Kirsten Dunst. Currently the number 92 movie out of the IMDb Top 250, and it's the number 182nd movie on Letterboxd.
I don't think there's anything funny about this movie. I'm just going to say it. I don't think it's really a comedy at all.
What do you mean? There's all those wacky tidbits of Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey for like 2 or 3 seconds. And then it goes back to very serious.
Right.
We'll say IMDb and Letterboxd do not list it as the genre. Like comedy as the genre.
They do or don't?
They don't. But right. The theme is... One of the themes on Letterboxd is relationship comedy.
Okay, strange Letterboxd.
There is humorous moments of it.
I mean, barely. I don't know.
It won one Oscar for Best Writing Original Screenplay, Charlie Kaufman, and it was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in Leading Role for Kate Winslet.
Man, Jim Carrey didn't even get a nomination? What's up with that?
I will say.
It was pretty good.
I had seen this film. You two had not. Let me hear a little something. What'd you guys think of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on your first viewing?
It's a thumbs up.
One thumbs up?
One thumbs up.
I
that was good. Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect going in, and I was pleasantly surprised. I loved the whole kind of beginning thing where it's like, oh, you kind of think they're meeting for the first time, and then as it goes through the story, you find out that the entire intro to the movie is like the future, one of those like flashback, flash forward kind of things. Very nice. Very, very cool. I thought the cast, I was really surprised. I knew Jim Carrey was in this, but I didn't realize all the other, you know, Ruffalo,
Mark Elijah Ruffalo, Wood, Kirsten Dunst.
Even
Elijah Wood hater from now on.
I forgot David Cross was in this movie. David Cross.
Always happy anytime David Cross pops up in a movie or TV show. Yeah, even like Tom Wilkinson, I was just like, huh. I did not realize that who all was in this movie. but I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know, what do you guys think of the whole idea of just like erasing one person from your memory?
Fucked up thing to do.
Right. Like, that's pretty bizarre. Also, like, how can you just, like, I don't know. I feel like there's no way to just be like, oh, I remember everything else, but just not this person anymore. And I know it's not really the case, because one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when Joel and Clementine, Joel's going to ask her out at the bookstore or library, I don't know. But when he's going to ask her out, you kind of see, like, the genre, like, on the board start to kind of fade. And then as they're talking, you just kind of notice things here and there start to, like, every book starts to kind of lose color. All of the shelves, like, all of the tags on the shelves just start to kind of fade away. I thought that was just, I was sitting there watching, I'm like, okay, that's, I'd never seen that done before, and I thought that was a really cool, just a really well done scene, and a really cool, like, effect as they were moving through. But, like, some of the scenes where he's just like, yeah, I was at the beach and I saw you. It's like, okay, so what, are you going to forget everything? Or are you still going to remember the fact that, you know, David Cross's character was there flying some sort of remote control airplane at the beach? Like, are you going to remember everything else about this party but somehow forget just one thing? Like, I don't know. That just seems, like, impossible to me.
It seems like most of the stuff would, you would, like, just kind of, like, lose that memory.
Yeah.
They had him, like, his paintings, journals. It was a lot of personal things that had ties to her. So I imagine you would lose most memories, maybe not joint ones. I don't know how that would work. Because even, you know, like you were saying, Ben, where he's in the bookstore and everything starts to fade away, the scene where they're at the drive-in and they're making fun of the movie and then pieces start to, like, disappear and come up, or everyone gets removed from, like, the Grand Central Station type shot. I think you would lose most of the memories.
Yeah, it does seem like you'd lose most or all of your memories involving that person. So if it's like you live with that person, you probably lose memory of a lot.
It's also just like kind of a messed up concept. I don't know. Like,
I mean, as they show in the movie, it's rife for, it's like, you know, prime for abuse, right? Like,
yeah.
The Kirsten Dunst character is like, oh, I have a crush. Also, clearly doesn't work, right? Like, it clearly does not work, because it's like, oh, I've just had a crush on you for so long. And, you know, they kiss. And then his wife's like, oh, yeah, you've already been down this road and you've been erased. You know, it's like, oh, great. So she doesn't know that, obviously. But it's like, not only is it a fucked up concept, but it clearly also does not work very well.
Yeah, also the whole, like, Elijah Wood character of using someone's tapes to, like, stalk then date them.
Right.
Fucking creep.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
I mean, they're, like, fucking around the whole time, like, all of them. Like, Elijah Wood's obviously the worst perpetrator, because he, like, takes advantage of the situation and then uses his memories. Which, like, flawed concept. They broke up and it was so bad that she wanted to get him erased from her memory. So, like, I don't even know if that was even going to work very well for you. But then it's like, oh, while they're erasing his memory, like, they're, like, drinking. And then Kirsten Dunst comes over and they, like, clearly are, like, fooling around.
Fooling around?
On top of his bed with him in it. And it's like, what the fuck?
I wonder if it does work. But, like, I'm hard-pressed to think of another situation where you would use it, but I'm like, maybe the concept is that, like, love is such a strong emotion that it's actually hard to erase someone from your, like, memory in that sense. Because, like, Kirsten Dunst, like, loved him, and, like, that emotion still, like, strung through. And then, like, you know, obviously Joel and Clementine eventually re-meet, and they still fall for one another, you know? So it's like, is it, does it work in a certain case, or is it literally just that, like, such strong love is hard to erase and that it will withstand this procedure? Because I feel like in use case, it's not a crazy concept. Like, the people who are like, oh, like, this person died and I want to erase them, or like their dog or their pet or whatever, was one lady.
I was going to say, I noticed a lot of the people in, like, the waiting room were all there with, like, pets.
I guess I get that.
These people all need therapy. They don't need a procedure to get these out.
You gotta wonder, like, so maybe, like, the thing with, like, a pet is, like, I don't know. Would you want to lose that, or like, is it just like, I want to lose the memory of like when they passed?
Losing them?
Because even then, like, you're going to go home and be like, oh, where's the dog? Be like, oh, he's gone. Oh, that's weird.
No, there would be no dog.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, would you want to just lose, like, you don't want to lose the memory of the dog. You can't just, yeah.
Oh, you can't just remove the death. Right. Oh, whatever happened to that dog? Oh, I don't know.
That's like the concept of like dementia. Like, yeah, you know, if there's partners, one has dementia, one passes away, like, you have to remind that person like every day that person died. Because they're
if
like,
if they even remember that person.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes they don't. My grandma always asked for her dad, like, before she died. Like, she'd be like, oh, I can't remember if she asked for him or if, like, I don't know. But yeah, sometimes it doesn't even go that far back.
I feel like we've talked about dementia before on the podcast, but
yeah, I mean, this, well, I think there was a different movie, I feel like, that we saw with, like, memory loss. I don't remember what it was.
Was it Memento?
Yeah, probably. It's a very common theme among movies.
So I haven't seen this film in at least 10 years, I feel like. And I feel like it's always on, like, most popular on Letterboxd. So rewatching it, I was like, damn, I forgot. And I feel like this happens to so many movies that we've talked about on the podcast that I watched in 2010, 2012, 2014 that, like, I haven't seen. And I don't know what it was about this time in my life, whether I just, like, blanked. But, like, so many of these movies I watched then that, like, I forgot about, haven't watched since. And I'm like, these are so good. I remember it being good. But not like, holy shit, this movie's fucking good. Because when I watched the beginning again, I was just like, damn, this is awesome. And a lot of the scenes where it starts to go south, they get so creative with some of the like cinematography and stuff. Where the scene to me is where he's at the Barnes & Noble and he has the like present that he's going to give to Clementine. And he's walking out of the Barnes & Noble and all the lights start shutting off row by row. And then he walks through the door into the house and it looks like there's no cut. And I'm like, that's so good. How did we do this? Because
yeah,
I've got to like look into this, you know?
Yeah, there's the other one where he like transports to like being a kid and they have like a giant set, you know, like they have a giant like refrigerator.
Well, I think part of it is, like, the forced perspective stuff that they kind of did with, like, Elf and, like, Lord of the Rings, too. Or even, I think, Harry Potter. Like, I think Hagrid was also forced perspective.
Probably, yeah. I don't think he was actually 9 feet tall.
What?
What I'm saying.
Next you're going to tell me magic isn't real.
Well, hold on. You're going to want to buckle in.
Witchcraft is the devil. Everyone knows it.
It is real. It's just a sin.
Oh, okay.
Damn, I totally forgotten like the ending about like how they like meet each other and all that, but the part where they like pull up and she's gonna go back and get like her toothbrush and stuff, like her overnight stuff, she goes in and gets the letter and then gets back into the car and like has the tape and like puts it in, and then they like, they're playing like, oh, that's like,
so awkward.
I fucking hate him. He sucks. He's boring. Like, he brings me down in life or whatever. And then the reverse, when she goes back to his place or whatever, and he's playing the tape out loud, and she's like, no, 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 it's only fair. And you're just like physically cringing because the shit that's like
very
being
cringe.
Said.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, oh, this is like the worst kind of couples therapy, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, because in couples therapy, you're obviously, hopefully, trying to, like, salvage a relationship, and then that after they like, broke up, they're, like, mad.
Yeah, like, tell me, I don't know, like, what the prompt would be, because I feel like even Joel, who I feel like at a certain point was trying to salvage the relationship somewhat, was, like, very rude and, like, douchey in his tape.
Yeah.
Also, Elijah Wood. I just forgot so much about this movie.
Yeah, the Elijah Wood part was really rough.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
especially, like, Mark Ruffalo's character was like, this is messed up, but, whatever.
Yeah, he's like, dude, you, like, stole her underwear. And then, like, laughs about it after that, and you're like, oh, okay, he's kind of got a moral. No, he doesn't actually have a moral compass.
Right. You should be reporting this guy and telling him to leave or something. I don't know.
I want to know if he actually knew about her getting her mind wiped.
Because I feel like no. He tells her no. I feel like the answer is no. I mean, at least based on what he describes, you know?
Yeah.
But he could be lying.
Because, I don't know. Just because he already seems kind of shady at the point with, is it Patrick, I think his name was? Elijah Wood's character? Yeah. Like, he's kind of like, ha ha ha, he he.
Yeah, well, and he's like, oh, your girlfriend hates me or whatever. And he's like, no, she thinks you're all right. And it turns out to be the receptionist. And you're like, oh, weird. Okay. I feel like it doesn't feel like either of them really knew about the previous thing, about her mind being wiped.
Okay. I'd buy
maybe that. I don't know. I hope so. I think they're all shitty characters, but I don't know. Well, so then, okay, but then the weird thing, which runs counter to that, is when the wife pulls up and he sees that they're kissing, he doesn't seem angry. He doesn't seem angry about it at all. He honks the horn to, like, warn them, like, hey, your wife is here. Stop doing that. Which seems weird to me if you don't know about the prior. Maybe he just assumed. I guess he did say that he kind of thought maybe something had happened.
Yeah, and I feel like at that part, he's kind of like, he kind of can sense it.
Yeah.
Because he does say, oh, like, if no one minds, I'm going to go out to the car.
Or right. So maybe he's just a sad sack. I don't know. But it does kind of seem like he either doesn't, he either did know, and that's why he's like, didn't respond, or he didn't know, but he kind of suspected, and so maybe he was just like, okay, I guess this is what's happening.
Man, so I made a TikTok, or like a reel, not too long ago, about In My Feels movies, and this was on that list. Would you agree? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of people have been in relationships where you're so wrapped up in it that you can't really see how bad it is until you leave it, you know? But that doesn't mean it was all bad. It's just like I'm actually kind of surprised they ended it how it did. I'm surprised that they went with the ending of they're going to try and make it work.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're just going to end up back in the same place. I mean, maybe knowing what they know now, maybe they won't. But, like, I don't know. If the rest of the movie's themes are, you know, come to pass, it feels like they'd hate each other again eventually.
Maybe, or maybe because they're aware of how each other feels. Because that was one of the things I think that they talked about was like, oh, you never discussed me, you never talked to me. I think when they're in the bed one time, and she's like laying on top of him, she's like leaning her head on him or something, and they're talking about that. He's just kind of like mopey about it or whatever. I feel like, well, maybe they just never really talked about how each other feels. Because then also, you know, like, she keeps going out late and stuff, and that makes him feel uncomfortable because he's like, oh, well, you're just flirting and fucking.
Ugh, cringe.
Well, it seems like, so in the ending, for their case, I think the fact that maybe they had the experience of listening to the tape and being like, I don't know who that person is, but that's not how I feel. Like, maybe they kind of take lesson from that and be like, maybe we can kind of, you know, not like completely change who we are, but change some of our behaviors. But, like, you look at, like, the Kirsten Dunst and her situation of, like, yeah, you've done this again. Like, how many times would that keep happening? You know, if they keep putting themselves in the same situation, regardless of if you've taken the memory away, are you going to keep falling into the same situations over and over again? Or are you, you know, is it one of those things where it's supposed to be, like, a conversation about destiny? Like, you're just destined to do this thing?
Well, I think the other thing, maybe to play to one of those points, is, like, Kirsten Dunst is on the phone one time when Joel walks in and says something like, no, you can't have the procedure done 3 times in one night or something like that. And yeah. I'm like,
oh. In a month, I think.
Oh, it's in a month? Oh. So you're like, oh, does it actually work? Like, are they just repeating the same behaviors? Like,
I think that there's a, like, the doctors have a fundamental misunderstanding in that you can remove the memory of the person, but if you don't, if they don't change the circumstances, like, they're still them, you know, like, they could still fall into the same trap or the same situation again. Because, like, they didn't fundamentally change as people. Like, they, you just removed memories of them, of a different person. It's like, put in the same situation again, like the receptionist with the doctor, you know, the same thing is probably going to happen again.
And I think in Joel and Clementine's case, it's not so much, it's not so much the other person's behavior. It's more so them projecting on one another. Because, like, the biggest complaints for Clementine was, oh, he's, like, boring and this and that. And then the biggest things for Joel was, like, oh, well, she's, you know, flirty and she goes out and she does this. And it's, like, kind of them projecting on each other rather than, like, literally their behaviors. Like, it's more just, like, their innate character that they have and how they act. So it, I feel like their case is maybe solvable and maybe they do end up together. And that their love is, you know, stronger than it is perceived in the thing. Because, I mean, we don't know the length of the relationship that they had, right? I don't think that's ever discussed.
No, not really. I mean, it's just talked about that they meet, and then you get the all of the stuff about them. I mean, you get, like, the memories and that, but there really is no definition of how long or how short everything was or what timeline there was between memories.
Because I'm like, yeah, they could have actually been, like, together for a long time rather than what is perceived to be kind of shorter. I don't know, because they weren't living together, right? Kind of? Or, like, at least staying at each other's places?
I think they were, like, staying at each other's places, but I don't think they were living together. I'd imagine they had to have been together, like, a decently long time. I feel like you don't go through to erase the memory of someone that, like, you just have only been together with for, like,
a month. I don't know, like Dylan said, that one girl, or I guess it, we don't know if it's a girl or not, but that one person wanted it, like, 3 times in a month.
Do you guys think insurance covers this procedure, or is this out of pocket?
Definitely out of pocket.
Out of network.
Elective. Man.
Elective out-of-network procedure.
You gotta have a pretty decent income to be able to afford to do this thing, like, 3 times in a month.
Yeah. Probably had to do it even once. That's the most unrealistic part about this whole movie, you know? Especially somebody doing it from their dog. Like, are you serious? You're paying this for a dog? To not remember a dog? Come on. Like, what were you doing with that dog that you need to forget the dog existed, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it definitely is... I don't know. I mean, it takes you through the ups and downs of a relationship. I think a lot of people, most people can probably relate to on some level. I will say, I think the one, like, I don't know, a drawback, Kate Winslet's character pretty much fits, like, the manic pixie girl stereotype to a T. It's like, all right, I mean, almost verbatim, like, copied out of a textbook.
It is one of the first ones to do that, I think, though.
Is that an internet thing?
No, it's a
movie trope.
It's a trope in movies. It's like the quirky girl who kind of takes, like, the straight edge guy and, like,
I don't know, a girl that, like, takes a guy and who's, like, boring otherwise and, like, shows him the more exciting parts of life, you know, but at the expense of her being, like, really out there and, like, emotionally and mentally taxing, you know.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. She seems to be that type of person.
Yeah, because it's like, this came out the same year as Garden State, which I don't know if you've ever seen.
I've heard of it.
But Natalie Portman plays very manic pixie dream girl. And then obviously I feel like Clementine is inspiration for, like, Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim. I will say one thing, though. Because I compared it to Garden State. So Roger Ebert said in a review of Garden State, he said he described Natalie Portman's character as a kind of rather unbelievable movie creature, as a girl who is completely available, absolutely desirable, and really likes you. he notes, we learn almost nothing about her except that she's great to look at and has those positive attributes. So, like, I will say at least Clementine, like,
has some negative qualities.
Has other qualities. And, like, you know, you learn a little bit about her, I guess, but, like, I don't know. It does seem, it is very much so that kind of, like, oh, well, she's the quirky, spontaneous one, and she's bringing him out of his shell. Because it's, like, that scene, which is probably, like, the saddest scene in the movie to me, where they sneak into the mansion on the beach, and...
Oh, yeah.
And she's, like, trying to, like, find all this liquor or whatever. She's, like, goes upstairs, and then she's like, well, I came back downstairs and you were gone. I walked out. Why? I don't know. I just felt like a scared little kid. It was above my head. I don't know. Like, you're like, damn, Joel.
Yeah.
Ben and I talked about this when we watched The Truman Show. That, like, drama actor Jim Carrey is so good.
Yeah. That's why I was saying I'm surprised he didn't get any nomination for this. I feel like he should have. I don't know who won it that year, who was nominated, but...
The thing about actors, they only nominate, is it four people?
Oh, is it just four?
I think it's four or five, but, like, you know, movies now, they nominate nine people, but...
Wow.
It's a little harder to win actor than it is to win Best Picture. I mean, obviously, they're all hard to win.
All right, let's see. Who was nominated that year? Actor in a leading role. We got Clint Eastwood in Million Dollar Baby. We got Leonardo DiCaprio in The Aviator. We have Johnny Depp in Finding Neverland. We have Don Cheadle in Hotel Rwanda. And we have our winner, Jamie Foxx in Ray.
Ooh.
I haven't seen any of those movies.
Sorry, Jim Carrey.
Yeah. It's some but stiff I'm, competition, yeah.
But I'm kind of understanding it here. Kind of making sense to me. And again, we've had the conversation. I feel like at times, like, so many comedic actors are just really good actors. I feel like it's kind of easier for them to transition into drama than it is for drama actors to transition to comedy. I just think it's an easier thing to get through. We talked about the fact that Elijah Wood's character was a fucking creepo.
Yep. Yeah.
Big creep.
I see here that Seth Rogen auditioned for the role of Patrick.
I like Elijah Wood in that role just because he's a, I don't know, he's like a wormy little grunt type of guy, you know? Like, I just can't imagine just Seth Rogen really in that role.
Slandering Elijah Wood?
No, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Just because he's a slimy little worm.
He literally played a hobbit. Like, come on. Like, he's, I don't know, like, especially like his haircut and everything in that movie.
We should totally get stoned and then we'll like totally erase this dude's memory.
In Donnie Darko, he does play kind of a scummy, like, douchebag character.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's
got the scummy early 2000s down pat.
Oh, no. This is
Seth Rogen.
This is Rogen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Seth Rogen. His first, like, movie he ever did was Donnie Darko, and he... What's his first line?
He's like a bully.
What's his line in the movie, Ben? It was like, show us your boobs or something. It was something really dumb like
it
that.
It was something pervy, yeah.
The line was, I like your boobs.
Great.
Which, in all honesty, isn't really out of his character's wheelhouse.
No, not really.
You can totally picture him saying that now. But in Donnie Darko, it's more pervy and skeevy. Less stonery. But it doesn't sound... If you were to give me a list of quotes of, like, two truths and a lie... And one of the options was show me your boobs and go, well, yeah, Seth Rogen obviously said that one.
Like, you're like, if I give you a quote, name the movie that it's from, you'd be like, Pineapple Express. I don't know.
Yeah.
Food Fight. I don't know.
Oh, God.
No, that's wrong one. Are you talking about the other one?
Sausage Party.
Sausage Party, yeah.
That's it.
Not to confuse two great animated movies that did well in the box office. But
did Sausage Party tank? I feel like it did okay.
I thought it tanked.
I mean, like,
it did not do as well as it did not do as well as I think they expected it to. I think it did okay for like the first weekend, and then once people were like, "This is not good."
Wasn't that one of the movies that like really like started people getting like paying attention to like animators getting like fucked over too?
Yeah. Yeah, they got kind of fucked in making that movie.
I mean, it made its money back in its opening weekend. So,
like I said, I think it's one of those that like did really well opening, and then it did not do well after that.
Yeah, because you watch it and you're like, "What the fuck?" I saw it in theater when it opened or something.
I did not, because I think I talked to someone, probably you, who was like, "Yeah, it's not what I was expecting."
Yeah, it's so weird.
Well, because all like the advertisements were like. Have you still never seen it? I think I've watched, like, I don't think I ever finished it.
Oh my god, the ending's so weird. I think we would
just
start
it, and it was just like, yeah, we're not finishing this. I was like, all right.
It's a lot of cringe, and then the movie ends in a
food orgy, right?
Food orgy, yeah.
Here's a little tidbit of trivia for you. As of 2023, this is the most recent film to win a screenwriting Oscar, but not be nominated for Best Picture.
Huh.
Wow.
I had seen this film. Bennekamp had not. So the duo Goob Squad will give you their first reactions, and then I'll give you a nostalgia and an updated rating.
Yeah, this movie was pretty good. Definitely not a comedy, so jot that down. If you go into this thinking it's going to be a rom-com of any sorts, you're going to be pretty sad. It's just a story about relationships of all sorts kind of falling apart. It was pretty good. It's not too long. Jim Carrey, I think, is very good in the movie, and so is Kate Winslet. So I think it's definitely worth a watch. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I didn't know what to expect. I knew not a comedy. I knew this was more a drama movie, because I know when you list Jim Carrey movies or Jim Carrey characters, and it's like Ace Ventura, The Mask. Then it's like, oh, and then he was in the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And you're just like, it stands out as one that I don't remember. I don't remember seeing a lot of people talk about being really funny. So I knew it was a drama. That was about all I knew going into it. Yeah, this is another one of those movies that it's not really plot driven. It's very character driven. It's really kind of an in-depth look at relationships and memory. I thought the concept was really cool. I know Dylan had mentioned like the cinematography. I thought it was really well done, the way that they did the losing memories, where things just kind of faded away, or, you know, you'd see something where he'd be in one memory, and then by the end of the sequence or the shot, he was just in a completely different place. Not my favorite movie. Just not my favorite genre, but I gave it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was just... If you haven't seen it, I definitely think it's worth a watch. I'd recommend it. The cinematography is great. Jim Carrey is phenomenal as this troubled kind of everyman character, but in a much different way than he typically plays the troubled everyman character. This is where I'm going to give a shameless shout out to our listeners and the people who voted in the poll. This was a good pick, guys. Good pick.
Could have. Cam looks like he's in the movie right now. Yeah. How they shoot the like how they shoot the like low light things with like the spotlight type of look to it. That's how you look right now. Yeah. I probably gave this movie a 7 out of 10, like Cam. I don't remember it like sticking out to me that much. Watched it like early college, late high school. you know, you've experienced more in life, I feel like it kind of hits a little different with you, kind of sits a little bit more. I think this movie, if you've ever like had a relationship, you've lost someone, you've loved someone, I think this movie kind of carries a lot of weight to it. You know, I see a lot of comments on Letterboxd and stuff being like, oh, my favorite genre of movie, pain. This movie hit me harder than it did, you know. And I think there's a lot of that, there's a lot of that sadness, and like, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think feeling those emotions and kind of like getting a little sad, getting a little happy, like seeing this relationship, you reflect on yourself, you reflect on like what you're watching in it. And sometimes, to me, I liked what somebody said, that this is a comfort movie, and it kind of feels like that. Like I enjoy it. And like, you know, not necessarily that like at ever in the movie that I was like, oh man, this is so like depressing. Like, it's not like I'm watching Requiem for a Dream. There is a somewhat happy ending in this movie. Like, they meet again. Like, they are able to like rekindle this relationship that they once felt. They find those feelings again, because at one point when they met, they were happy. They were mystified by each other, and they feel that again at some point without, you know, having this memory of each other. So I think there's that hope inside you that it's like, it will work out again. You guys said Jim Carrey kills it. Kate Winslet kills it. The supporting cast is really good. God, Elijah Wood is just such a skeez bag. Cinematography, amazing. Like we talked about, the scene where he's like walking to the Barnes & Noble and the lights turn off and he walks into the house. Amazing. The shots of them on the ice, like, is so iconic. I'm going to bump this one up. I'm going to move this to a 9 out of 10. Yeah, I recommend this one. I don't know. It's not necessarily hidden gem, but I feel like it's not. It's kind of underrated. I feel like it doesn't get the love it deserves.
I'd put it under hidden. I like heard of it, but I feel like it's one of those that's not talked about. I'll be honest, for it being like in the top 100 on IMDb, if someone would have had me write down the top 100 movies, I don't know that this one would have come to mind.
If you want to enter the giveaway, head over to our socials. Those will be linked in the show notes below. Go enter that if you want to win Rio Bravo or East of Eden. We're giving away 10 copies. Follow the instructions wherever you go on social media. Hit up the Casker links in the show notes below to make yourself a Darling Clementine. Head over to Liquid IV and use code Cocktails AND Classics, Cocktails and Classics spelled out, to get 20% off anything you order. Like, subscribe, check us out next time. And as always, watch responsibly.